Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this 40th episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, December 6th. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On the show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through personal dedication, faith, and determination, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. It's that time of year when we see homes and stores decorated with colored lights, hear the refrains of Christmas music everywhere, smell the aroma of baking cookies, and if you're an avid reader, seek out every Christmas story we can find. Today's guest, Jenna Victoria, has just released her debut novella, War of the Heart, A Snow Globe Christmas. Jenna is the author of Fiction That Feeds Your Faith, which is happily ever after romance and romantic suspense stories with a Christian worldview. All writers encounter stumbling blocks on their career journey, but Jenna has persevered despite her first breast cancer diagnosis in 2012, followed by several recurrences and metastasis. Jenna continues to praise God and trust her life to Him. She writes books that glorify God and His sacrificial love through His Son, Jesus Christ, showing how He gives us hope and peace amid unbearable situations. Welcome to the show, Jenna.
Well, it's a pleasure for me to be here, Patty, especially on your 40th broadcast. I wish I was 40 again, but it has a good portent for the future.
Well, thank you. I would have had quite a bit more, but for various reasons throughout the year, I've had to suspend the broadcasting for a while. So we're getting there. Well, Jenna, if you would share with us, where did your writing story begin? Did you always want to be a writer from the time you were a young person? Did you have childhood influences that you feel inspired your writing? Or is this something that kind of interested you later on in life?
I would have to say that my mother had a very strong love for reading. Her particular genre was mystery. She was enthralled by mystery books and a lot of the classic Nigaia Marsh and Nero Wolfe, those type of things. And I actually went the opposite road and started reading romances. And I would have one in my room next to my bed. I would have one in every room. And I just fell in love with the words I was reading. From a very young child, my family had some serious issues, as many families do. I had a sister with Down syndrome. I had a situation where my mom had some mental health issues that she struggled with and was in treatment for. And as a result, I almost became an adult as a very young child. So for me, books were an escape to a world of wonder. They were a way for me to experience a life that was not my reality. And just stepping into a book by opening the cover was magical for me. So I would be always found walking to the town library and taking out literally 7 or 8 books at a time and gobbling them up and then, you know, bringing them back, usually late, much to my father's displeasure. But yes, from a very young age, I knew I wanted to create those type of worlds for other people.
Well, it sounds like you had a very challenging childhood, Jenna, and that probably shaped a great deal of the person that you are today. The mental health field is something that I'm well familiar with. I worked in psychiatric nursing for, almost 40 years. So I have some idea of what you were probably dealing with.
Luckily, well, your Christmas, the Lord put me into a Christian family. So although we had struggles, both of my parents were believers, you know, my siblings and I were believers. And so especially my maternal grandmother was a true prayer warrior, and she and I were extremely close. And so the Lord did put into my life people that also gave me that hope and that sense of unconditional love.
And that's always a wonderful blessing that serves us throughout life. Well, your Christmas novella, War of the Heart, A Snow Globe Christmas, came out, I can't recall the date, I'm sorry, I believe it was just released last year. Yes.
This year, so, the end of October.
Oh, yeah, 2016. I'm sorry. tell us about your novel, your novella.
Well, being that I am on disability with my metastatic cancer, and my time in front of the computer is short and I have to space it out, it's doable if I plan. And I have to forgive myself, I guess you could say, for the times when I'm just not able. I have a lot of body of work written that has never seen the light of day. And so I'm luckily now able to draw from that wealth of things and just do some tweaking and do some updating. And so War of the Heart was something that I had thought about doing a book about London, because I love anything to do with the UK. I'm an Anglophile from way back when, long before Princess Diana came on the scene. I loved watching PBS shows about royalty, and I just was enthralled, and I was definitely sure that my parents had kidnapped me from England, because that was where my true home should be. And so when I had the opportunity to make the War of the Heart a time travel, but yet in the Christian realm, it was very intriguing for me, because they're not two that you usually find together. But since it was a holiday miracle idea, and I thought, well, I knew already could set it anywhere we wanted, that London was going to be the place. And I disliked history heartily in school. Just, it really bored me. But as I began to look into research for War of the Heart, which specifically takes place over a few weeks of Christmas in 1940, I was drawn into the pictures through the newsreels and of the folks that were going about their daily lives in the midst of loss of their men, their fathers, their brothers, you know, their grandfathers, not only in service, but also in bombings. They were going about with rationing of food. And when I saw the tiny bit of food that a family was permitted, I thought, wow, you know, that is just incredible that they were able to turn that into a meal that would, you know, be beneficial for the children and for the grandparents and women that remained at home. And I actually found out that there was a specific day in December that became key to my story and actually is written on the outside of the snow globe. And I'll let the readers discover how it's important. But once God put that little coinkydink in my view, I thought, yeah, this is where I'm meant to set the story and the time period.
It fascinates me that you're writing your story about the UK, Jenna, because my son and daughter-in-law have lived there for about 6 years now.
I actually have read so many romance books in the secular world throughout my entire life that a lot of the expressions are more at home for me than American ones. It's rather funny to say that. But I'm happy to say that I have had people that do live in the UK or friends who have lived there, who know people that live there, and have complimented me and said, you know, the way you describe things, your dialogue, just the sense of when you are in that time period and even in current day London, where part of the book also takes place, that it is true to life. And I was very happy to hear that, because as a former journalist, accuracy is very important to me, but yet I also want that emotion. I want them to be tugged into the story and tugged into what life is really like. And it rings true rather than rings false, which I'm glad to hear.
Oh, that is neat. Have you ever been there?
Yes, several times, not enough.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I have never been over there. I'm hoping to go perhaps next year and visit
Travel
my kids.
Travel is a challenge for me. As I said, you know, with being on chemo pretty much straight through since 2012, there's energy issues, there's, you know, walking issues. But the Lord does give me brief interludes where I can really have a lot of joy in my day and do activities. It's just something that you learn to listen to your body. Anyone with a chronic illness or a long-term illness, you do what you can when you're able, and then the rest of the time you listen to your body and you rest. But you also need to push yourself a little, because every writer knows that we will always find an excuse to not sit at the keyboard and type. And I find myself, to be honest, that, you know, and it would say, oh, poor Jenna, you know, she has breast cancer, so of course she can't. No, there are times of the day when I can sit for 10 or 15 minutes and write something, or I can, you know, lay in bed and sketch out on a pad a scene or a thought. There are definite ways that I can fill time in my day that aren't labor intensive, which will move a story along. So I am learning to get myself out of that inertia period and say, no, you are able to do this, even if it's just for 5 minutes. So go do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish I had that kind of perseverance, and I don't even have any kind of physical illness. Well, except for my arthritis, it's creeping up on me, but
well, so, I think that any time life deals you a situation that puts you in a place that you don't want to be in, you can't help but look back at maybe time that you've wasted or periods of time where you could have done something and you didn't. And I have prayed about that, and I have released myself from any guilt for that, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, we do what we can when we know better, we do differently. And so now my focus is more on, this is something that the Lord has put in my heart to do, to write stories that glorify Him. And now He is my boss. He is my taskmaster, so to speak. And so it's not just, well, what does Jenna want to do and sit in front of the computer and type for a few minutes? It's, Lord, guide my words today. What do you want me to put down on paper? And I find that when I put the focus more on, this is work for the Lord, it's not because I am a writer, it does make it more compelling for me.
Yes, and that's a mindset that all of us Christian writers need to have, actually, Jenna. And I know that I'm probably considerably older than you are. And how many times, when you mentioned the time issue, how many times do I look back and think of all the time that I have wasted that I could have spent writing? And I think, wow, I'm getting to the age where I kind of have this anxiety about, gee, I'm going to die someday. And God's going to say, okay, what did you do with all that time and talent I gave you, you know?
But, you know, we do have a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And I know that when we stand before Him, His blood covers it all, and we are, again, we do what we can, and then when we know better, we do better. And as long as we keep on getting up, you know, where's that song, I think, that Toby Mac sings, saint is just a sinner who keeps getting up. And so that's all we need to do, is just keep getting up. You know, we fall and we forget, whether it's our prayers or our devotions or our Bible reading or our writing, and then we just start forward. God is a God of new beginnings.
Yes, that's very true, and praise Him for that. Jenna, in your story, War of the Hearts, what kind of takeaway do you hope that readers will find? What kind of lessons will they have learned when they finish the story?
I had a friend, a Christian friend, who was re-diagnosed with breast cancer right when I was diagnosed. And I saw that the path that she went on was not one of drawing nearer to God, but drawing away. And I would correspond with her or speak with her. And her mood, unfortunately, was one of sadness and depression and anger at God. And I even sent her a copy of a devotional that works, that is so beautiful to me, that another Christian breast cancer survivor has sent to me. And it's a classic. It's called Streams in the Desert, and it's by L.B. Kalman. And it's been around, I think, since the 30s, and they update it. But it's basically devotions for those of us who are in desert times in our life. And for some of us, the desert time will be our life, that we will not be ever in a place where we're out of the desert. And I think that in the UK, as World War II hit, they thought World War One was it. There was never going to be another war. And they hoped that, you know, this would be a short-lived conflict and that Hitler would never make his way to, you know, to their shores. And
sure,
to have a major city such as London and the outskirts, the suburbs, be just torrentially bombed over, you know, Christmas season in 1940, you would think that the people would be in despair. And instead, I found story after story of, despite what the situation looks like, people felt peace, people felt joy, people felt contentment. And I really thought that War of the Heart was a parallel to my own life, as I struggle with cancer and will be struggling with cancer for the rest of my life, because it is metastatic and it does recur. Right now, I'm in a little bit of a remission, but we know the cancer is still within my body, and that the Lord has really blessed me, because most women with triple negative metastatic breast cancer die within a few years. And I've been here since 2012 and I'm still going strong. So that is one thing I do want to mention, is that, you know, the triple negative breast cancer is a rarer form, and 20% of women do get it that have breast cancer, and they do need more research and more awareness for that. But putting that aside for the moment, I really want people to walk away from this book saying, wow, the hero and the heroine, Louise and George, had no idea how they were going to move forward with the tasks they had back in 1940, or if they would even be able to get back to the current time period. And they found that total trust in God was the way to go. And the one thing that the Lord has shown me through my journey is that I keep hearing over and over in the back of my mind, I am enough. I am enough. And I have come to believe that not only in my mind, but in my heart, that I may lose my health, I may lose my home, I may lose my car, I may lose my marriage, I may lose whatever it is, whatever I count as valuable and something that I would not be able to, quote, live without. As long as I have Jesus, I have enough. And he became enough for me in this journey. And that is something that I pray that every woman or man out there that's facing any type of struggles in their life, to get to a point where it's not that you're reading the words in a book or reading a verse, but that you're feeling in your heart, he is enough and he will sustain you.
Well, Jenna, right now I'm going to take a short break only to make listeners aware. A lot of times on Blog Talk Radio, we have listeners that come in and don't know what the show is about or what show they're listening to. So I just wanted to make any new listeners aware that you are listening to Step Into the Light here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Jenna Victoria. She is a romance and romantic suspense writer who just recently released her first novella, War of the Heart, A Snow Globe Christmas. And Jenna, as all writers do, have some kind of obstacle. Jenna's is quite foreboding in that she has been diagnosed with breast cancer and has been fighting that since 2012. So we are talking about her writing. We're talking about her perseverance through her illness. Jenna has a website. She has a Twitter account and a Facebook account, which I won't give you the URLs here because you probably won't remember them, listeners. So I'm going to refer you to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. If you go there under the Blog Talk Radio tab, you will find a website and social media page, and you will find the URL to social media information for all of the guests that have been on the show, including Jenna. And also, if you started listening to the show in the middle of it and you'd like to listen to the beginning, you can go again to that website, PattiSheene.com, and you will find the link to this show all over the website. I've got it on the front page. I've got it on the show of the week page, and you'll easily find it. And the show is accessible at any time. About 5 minutes after we finish broadcasting here today, it will be processed and ready to be listened to. So I just wanted to bring that up before we move on with our talk here this morning. So Jenna, if you're comfortable with it, walk us through the process that made you realize that something was wrong when you were diagnosed with your cancer.
For many triple negative breast cancer patients, there is no warning. There's not a lump. There's not a problem that you would feel because it happens in a lot of women that, to be quite frank, have dense breasts. So they're hard to image anyway on a mammogram or on a sonogram. And it's almost like an invisible sponge. So it is very, it's loosely linked tissue. The tumor is loosely linked tissue. So when you palpate your breast during a self-exam or you go to your doctor and they give you an examination, I had gone for years for mammograms and had exams, and there was nothing, and nothing appeared. And my father had died in 2011. And I was not mentally in a place where I was really thinking about, you know, getting my mammogram, et cetera. So that 1 year I did miss it. And so in early 2012 is when I went, and they found a 10-centimeter tumor in my breast, and which is quite large. And I had mentioned to my oncologist that I had felt guilty if I had only gone, you know, in 2011. And he said, no, this has been growing for at least 9 years. So, you know, put that guilt on yourself. And it also being the fact that it had gone into my lymph nodes, there again, it's a silent thing. There was nothing that was an early warning signal. So, yes, I was kind of, it was out of left field. But the very odd thing about my reaction was I never, for whatever reason, I never asked why. I hadn't been a very strong Christian. I believe that prior to my diagnosis, I was what they would call a milk-fed Christian, even though I was, you know, saved when I was very young, 10 years old, and I loved Jesus my entire life. I really didn't make a lot of attempt to live a life of his kingdom on earth. I'd go to church when I felt like it. I would pray when I felt like it. I would, you know, but yet I still had such a strong love for things of the Lord. I was drawn to it. When I got this diagnosis, I immediately had the thought, he will be with me. And I never asked why, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And there are people that do not in any way seem to be underneath a cloud of hardship. And there are other people that seem to have golden lives. And if you get yourself into that comparison mindset, it can be very debilitating. You can become very bitter. And I said, well, you know, I know that every step forward, whatever the outcome, he will be with me. And it has been tough. It has been extremely difficult. I'm not a superwoman. I'm not someone who gets up every day and says, you know, okay, today I'm going to live in victory with the Lord. I mean, that's not reality. That's not life. Mm-hmm. We strive for that, but we're human. And so when I was diagnosed, I did have a peace, though, because I knew that I was in a win-win situation. I have the assurance through my salvation that when I die, I'll be in heaven. And I have the assurance that while I'm going through this, you know, that the Lord said that, you know, he will never leave us or forsake us. And someone told me something very wise that, you know, there's that verse in Romans that says our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us in the future. And so it's almost in a way of saying, you know, Jesus suffered so much on the cross for me, and this is my cross, and I learned to praise him in it And it goes from literally verbally stating it and verbally setting your mind on it, even when you don't believe it in your heart. I mean, you believe it, but you don't feel the emotional attachment.
You don't feel it, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's that saying, you know, fake it until you make it type of thing. But it's not really that. It's more that our minds are so formed in the non-spiritual world of just going towards negativity or going towards blame or going towards poor me. And when you make a conscious decision to focus instead on praising God in all things and also asking him to be with you, saying, Jesus, come right now. I need you. You do get to a point where you know that that is real, and that is more real than the reality that's around you. And so the realm that you go about your day in is the real truth, the real world, which is heavenly things and not things on earth, which are going to pass away. And so through my first diagnosis, I had a mastectomy and I had radiation, and through that entire process and chemo, I was horribly, horribly, health-wise, just I felt horrible. I once described it to my husband as, I feel like a teddy bear with all the stuffing taken out. That's the only way that I could say to describe it. And yet, there were times when I would fall because of neuropathy in my hands or my feet. Like I couldn't grasp onto things. There was a time where I couldn't even climb stairs because of not being able to lift my legs. So there are true, true sufferings that people that go through chemo or go through any kind of chronic illness that we bear inside or we undergo. But I have never felt closer to Jesus than I have before this diagnosis, and I praise him for it, and I praise him that it's still here, because it's a daily reminder that I am nothing without the Lord, and he is enough, as I keep on saying, and that gives you that freedom, that peace. And I never understood that joy that passes understanding before, and now I do, because I see people that are in situations in their lives where they have zero joy, zero hope, and they're not going through metastatic breast cancer. And I look at myself and I say, this is not me. This is God. I would never claim any of the ability or any of the, quote, strength. This is totally, totally God-given. It is not Jenna-given. And it's not Jenna being stoic or Jenna being this different person than everyone else out there. No, this is Jenna submitting and yielding to God. And he is the one that steps in, and he is the one that every time I would go for a PET scan or I would go for another surgery, the cancer moved to my left side. I had a lumpectomy, had more surgery taken out of lymph nodes, and I ended up with lymphedema, which is swelling and pain in both of my arms from my fingertips all the way to my shoulders. And so I am in pain 24/7, but yet I will, in peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, makes me dwell in safety. It is something that, again, I want to live with my eyes on Jesus. I don't want to live with my eyes on my physical ailments or issues in life, or whether it's politics or whether it's, you know, gossip or whether it's, you know, so-and-so or so-and-so or something on the television. It's more of concentrating on things of the Lord as best we can in, when we live in the world. Another thing that has helped me when I was first diagnosed is I have an iPod, and you can, if you have a smartphone, you can do this as well, but I looked up some excellent evangelical preachers that have podcasts, whether it was Timothy Keller, Alistair Begg, there's Jim Cimbala, he's at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. I even have several, of course, because I love England so much. I have St. Helens Bishopgate has a roster of ministers that are so godly, and are every one of these people that I mentioned are in the Word. And it is, I have over 1,200 podcasts on my iPod.
Wow.
And I just sit, and because chemo moved my eye muscles, so it's hard for me to read print books. I literally put my earphones on and I listen, and I don't have to physically go to church if I'm not feeling up to it. I just put on, you know, a 40-minute podcast from one of you gentlemen, and there are many others out there, but I got through by constantly feeding myself with the word and with teaching. And I'll share one very brief one that Timothy Keller shared, is that in the Bible, when a covenant was made with people back in the Hebrew times, it was always the servant who would be killed if the covenant was broken, because his covenant was with the leader or the Lord or the richer person. And when God made his covenant with Abraham, he said, go, and they would take birds and small animals, and they would put their bones around in a circle. And he said,
yes,
you know, he crossed over into the covenant, and he said to Abraham, let me die if I break my covenant with you. And I found that to be so incredibly beautiful, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of our universe, has made a covenant with us where if he breaks his covenant, he has promised to cease to be. That is how strong his love is towards us. And mm-hmm. I would never have learned that bit of truth if I had not listened to Timothy Keller's podcast that day. So that has also sustained me, that I know that God has stepped into, you know, that circle of bones, and he has a covenant with me, and he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me, and I am to serve him. And that is, you know, definitely something that has seen me through.
Well, it sounds like you have found a lot of ways to, the premise of this show, as you know, is people in darkness find their way back to light. And it sounds like you have definitely descended into a darkness, and yet you have not let that control your whole life. You have found your way back to light, Jenna, so effectively, just by looking
to
the Lord.
Well, that's through God's blessing. That's through God's blessing and his provision only. But yes, I think that he has, in today's world, given us so many tools that we can reach out to, or people we can reach out to for mentoring, or for ways that we can change our mind and to just attain peace. You know, and John, it says it is peace that he does not give as the world gives. You know, do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. And that is something that is a promise. And when we claim the promises, if we look for the promises, those dark places do fade.
And I think that's the hardest one for me to accept, is the do not be afraid, because I let myself have so many fears about my own lack of ability, I guess. And God tells you, don't do that. You are an instrument. We are an instrument for him. And if we would just let him, let his power work through us, we could do amazing things. But there's always that fear of, what if I mess up? What if this comes out horrible? What if nobody likes it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that is definitely something that, if we can be limited through those thoughts, that definitely Satan prowls when he wants to devour us. And when we're doing effective things for the Lord, he goes after us. He's not going to go after the people who are not living for God's kingdom. He's going to let them continue to do whatever they're doing. He's going to go for the people who have the heart for God. And it's paradoxical, but, you know, we have more troubles and we have more things to face in our life. But it frustrates him when we still praise God and we still thank God for those times when we do have doubts and say, Lord, this is from you. It is not my responsibility to have someone read my book, for instance. My responsibility was sit down and write it. His job is to get it into even the one hand of that one person that may need that encouraging word that day. And that's why he works in the spiritual realm, and he's the master. And I'm the one that sits in the physical realm and just is obedient to do the best that I can. And we all improve. I mean, when I look back to something I wrote, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and I'm I'll be 56 in the month, so I'm not as young as you think I am, Patty. But
well, I just turned 65, so this summer, so I've still got to key out by quite a bit, Jenna.
Yeah, and so we are all the thoughts that come at us that are negative like that. That, well, you know, I'm X years old, I could never go back to school, or I'm, you know, I've tried that before and I failed. And it's mm-hmm. when we commit our work to the Lord that responsibility is out of us. If we write something, we have to go back and reread it and check for typos and check for, you know, my favorite word that I seem to use on every page is the word just. And so I have to go back and search for every single time I use the word just, which is, you know, in millennial. But there are things that we do and then we let it go and we just give it to God and say, I'm laying this at the foot of the cross. This is my sacrifice mm-hmm. for you, and you do with it as you see fit. And I keep on wanting to go back to the foot of the cross and pick up that package again and take it back. But, you know, or maybe I should, or this isn't, you know, and it's like, no, lay your package down, lay your burden down. And it's, your shoulders don't have to be bowed with the weight of that. And it's just an amazing synergy when those
yes.
parts of your day, when that happens. And like I said, this is not a skip to my loo every day. I'm walking around with, you know, sunbeams coming out of my ears.
Sure.
But it is something that when you go back to the cross, when you go back to God, when you return and you're under his wings, he takes you back every time. And it doesn't matter if you do it 50 times a day or 1,000 times a day, or if you forget, you know. I just started doing an Advent wreath this year because I wanted to kind of concentrate more on the spiritual aspect of Christmas and the advent of his coming and his
yes.
birth, rather than just, you know, listen to all the, you know, luckily I'm at a stage in life where we don't buy a lot of presents. So that's not, I don't have a frenzy of shopping, but it's just the peace. And it's almost like the other day I was really tired and I didn't light the Advent wreath candle, and I had read a little devotional, and then I felt bad. I felt guilt, and I was like, oh my goodness, Jenna, you know, you can't do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that just then, because then you say, okay, well, if I didn't do it last night, well, forget it. I'm not going to do it tonight. It's the same thing with writing. Like, oh, I didn't write today. Well, the next day, well, I didn't write yesterday. Oh, I'm a bad person, so I'm not going to write today either. It just puts you in that pattern instead of just stopping and going back and saying no. We recommit to the Lord, and he's waiting for us with his open arms every moment of every day. And you know, his forgiveness is sure.
Exactly. I know, getting back to what you were talking about earlier, Jenna, I've done a couple of workshops at writers' conferences. And one of them I do is called the Over 50 Writer. And one of the things I bring up there is, if God asked you to work on a manuscript for an inordinate amount of time, like say 10 years or even 20 years, and you finally get this manuscript out there and you get it published, and it's all for an audience of one, would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
It's something I've asked myself a lot of times, because I do blog posts for, you know, for other bloggers and things and my own, and I sometimes wonder, is anybody even reading this? And
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
not my problem. You know,
right.
once it gets out
Absolutely.
There, I mean, definitely, I probably should do better at marketing than I do. I'm very poor at that and promotion and all that kind of thing. But still, when it comes right down to it, I mean, how many things do I see on Facebook? Oh, I should take a minute to read that. Well, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And I really feel that's because God is saying, no, you need to take a second and stop, or 5 minutes, and really read this one, because this applies to you. And
right.
I think that
exactly.
that's the way it is with the things that we write, that God speaks to the people that need to hear whatever it is, our messages that day.
And I think,
as
too,
with this show.
You, yeah, and if you're doing something that is for God's kingdom, it's everything is in God's timing. You know,
yes.
an ebook may be up on a website for a certain amount of time. A paperback, certainly, which, or the heart, gratefully, is in paperback. Again, it may be sitting languishing somewhere for a long time, and then that one person will pick it up and read it. And these are not books that are quote-unquote conversion books. But there are people out there who write wonderful books about seekers who are looking for a life that has meaning to fill that void. And Christian fiction, in my mind, can lead you towards that direction, but it's more of just showing how people's relationships and how events can be positively affected when you put God in the mix. And that is why I write. And so there could be someone down the line who is going through something, you know, maybe they have, you know, a member who's a soldier in their family, and they'll pick it up. And I've even had two gentlemen who were former military read War of the Heart and loved it, because it's not a kissy, smoochy, you know, la-la-la lovey story.
Chick flick thing.
It is a love story, but it is historically accurate. It is about bigger issues. It is about family reconciliation, about healing friendships. It's about doing for others. It's about having perseverance in hard times. There are so many themes within this really short book that everyone can relate to, whether you're a man or a woman. And yeah, there's a couple, you know, there's a few scenes in there where they do kiss or whatever, but it's something that I think resonates with everyone, that God wants to be involved in every part of our life, not just on a Sunday morning, not just on an Easter or a Christmas Eve service. And you can do that without being a marginalized, you know, person who just sits on a street corner on a soapbox and talks about scripture. You show God's love to people through your life and through how you care for people. And that is how people are drawn to Jesus, because we show his love. Because that is first commandment, you know, is to love him with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. And the second is to love our neighbors as ourselves. So that is ultimately, you know, that when we do put work out there, as long as I'm showing my love for God and showing my love for others, then he'll take care of the rest.
That's true. Well, I was going to ask you, Jenna, what kind of encouragement you have for others who are facing obstacles in their writing career, but I think you covered that very well.
And I think so the other thing is to actually just sit and write. Just sit and write.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's, if you're sitting watching television, have some index cards next to you on, you know, on the couch, you know, and just write down ideas. Write down ideas about a character. Write down plot ideas. And just kind of even put them in a folder. You know, your mind is being filled with so many things. If you're watching commercials, it's just, you know, it's just mind-numbing. And so just take that time, if you multitask, and say, okay, well, I have a character named so-and-so. And then maybe just write down eye color, hair color. And so you use those bits of time, and the more you do that, the more I kind of get you a little more excited to sit down in front of, you know, the computer screen. And so, yeah, I would say definitely just sit down, write, but also take those little itty-bitty bits of time when you're in a doctor's office waiting room, or if you're waiting for your kids, you know, because I have an appointment or whatever, and just keep a little pad in your purse or whatever note card that works for you, or in your pocket if you're a guy, and just say, you know what? God has put this idea of a germ for a story or a memoir or a short story in my heart, and I'm not going to let the excuse of business to get my way. I will use downtime, you know, and I will get it done. So that's the only thing I would add.
Well, I know that lately I'm a widow. My husband passed away a few months ago. So now I'm, you know, spending an awful lot of time by myself. And something that I have started taking advantage of that I never really did before, I'm not a real good fast texter. So I've gotten to where I use that text-to-talk feature on my phone.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and anymore, if I come up with an idea or something that I really want to remember, I hear something on the news or whatever and I really want to remember it, I'll send myself an email with that text-to-talk thing. You know, it's kind of neat.
So I use an iPhone, and I have Siri on my phone. And actually, I did move her voice to be British accent, so I know I'm crazy. But anyway, I will just press the talk button and say, Siri, make a note that says, put character in X situation. And then she will say, okay, adding a note. And so I do the same thing, not with sending emails, but I do send notes to myself on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, the technology really does open up a whole new avenue for writers. Well, Jenna, it's about time to close out our show. I want to thank you ever so much. Unless you have any other thoughts that you would like to share with us. We do have a few minutes yet.
I really have enjoyed my time here with you. It's been a pleasure chatting. I would like anyone who's thinking of writing Christian fiction to also look into such organizations as American Christian Fiction Writers. There's also Romance Writers of America has a chapter called Faith, Hope, and Love. And we are a group of writers that write Christian-based fiction. And you can find camaraderie, you can find education, you can find friendship. There's also some hashtags on Twitter. You can do hashtag FHL author. You can do ACFW. You can type in ChristFic, ChristFic. And my Twitter is at Jenna, J-E-N-N-A, Victori, V-I-C-T-O-R-I. There's no A at the end because that was already taken when I started. But I also consider Twitter a ministry. And you will find only a small portion of my tweets have anything to do with my book or my future books. I do have 5 books that will be coming out next year. And I am working slowly on the revisions for them. But there's a whole community out there on Twitter, so you're not alone. And it's a joy to interact with other Christian writers on that social media platform.
Well, thank you so much for that, Jenna. And like I mentioned to listeners earlier also, if you go to my website at Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, go to the Blog Talk Radio tab and the website and social media page, you will find the information that Jenna just told you, not only about her Twitter account, but also about her website and her Facebook page as well, if you would like to make contact with Jenna on social media. So, yes, and I'm excited to hear that you have 5 books coming out next year. That was going to be my last question, actually. What's on the horizon for you as far as your writing?
Yeah, the Lord has opened up some neat avenues, and as long as he gives me breath, I will be here and working at a pace that is doable, given my ongoing chemo, et cetera. But he enables me, and as long as he gives me the strength, it's my job to sit and go where he directs.
Exactly. Well, Jenna, you certainly have been a wonderful inspiration. It's been a joy to have you on the show, and I want to thank you so very much for your time. And
I
may God continue to bless you in your endeavor, and he continue to help you with your perseverance through the mental challenges that you have right now. God bless
you. Thank you so much, Patty, and may God bless you.
To our listeners, in closing, when you look back on dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as it seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Please join us next Tuesday at 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. God bless you all.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle and makes it home.